Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to worship today. Today we are getting ready to transition. We have a big change in the church here as we are making our preparations to follow Jesus to the cross during our 40-day celebration of the season of Lent. And we'll talk about some of the challenges, some of the difficulties in doing so, largely in part in connection with the sermon, a little bit in the children's message, so make sure you pay attention to that as well. As transitioning is never easy in life, certainly not when it's as difficult as watching our Savior do what he did for us. But at the same time, it shows his great love for us, which we see on display for us on a mountaintop today, as this is Transfiguration Sunday. Jesus shows us his glory, and then Peter, of all people, is going to help us take home the point and the meaning and the blessings of the Transfiguration. So I pray that God blesses us in worship today. For our opening hymn this morning, we have some directions that are different from what are in your worship booklet. We are all going to sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5, and the choir will support us as we do. And then the women will sing stanza 2, the choir will sing stanza 4. So we all do 1, 3, 5, women and the choir will support you with stanza 2, the choir will sing stanza 4, and then we'll worship God as we prepare for our transition. May Jesus bless us as we worship today. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love him and to serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Before the suffering and death of your one and only Son, you revealed his glory on the holy mountain. Grant that we who bear his cross on earth may behold by faith the light of his heavenly glory and so be changed into his likeness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Exodus chapter 24. At this time, God is revealing his glory. The people can see it from afar. Moses himself trembled to go up the mountain. What a different experience Moses had when we see him on the mountaintop with Jesus in the gospel. As at that time, Moses has departed this life. He was made perfect through his Savior, Jesus. He lives with God, reigns with God in heaven. He has no fear. He has no guilt, no shame before God. This glory was only a picture of the glory that Jesus would bring and the glory that God shares with his people. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain. And on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm for this morning is Psalm 148. It's on page 5. We'll sing the psalm responsively by the whole verse, Psalm 148.
Praise him, sun and moon. him all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now,
The second lesson is recorded in 2 Peter chapter 1. This is St. Peter's commentary on his experience with Jesus on top of the mountain. And we'll talk a little bit more, especially in the children's message, about Peter's encouragement. We would do well to look to Jesus, especially in our darkest times. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them,
"Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. This time I invite the kids to come forward for the children's sermon, and I'll meet you in the front row. Good morning. Did a happy Sunday so far? A little bit of an early Sunday? Maybe a little bit? All right. Do you guys like going on trips? In the car? Long trips? No? Yes? Kind of? Maybe? This, if you're ever over in Sweden, this might be a map that you would see if mom or dad or somebody puts your trip into the computer in the car or maybe on their phone. How do you know where your trip is going to start? Yeah, there's... Yeah, where are you going to start?
At the red flag.
This one?
Flag.
Yep, right at the green flag. And then you're going to go all through this winding way, and then you're going to go all the way up here, and then that's where your destination is going to end.
Yeah.
Do your moms and dads or other people, do they have tricks to make the trip go a little faster?
No, I don't know.
Nope, it's just miserable the whole time, isn't it?
Not
right now. What are some tricks? They have some tricks for in the car? What are they?
Shortcut.
Oh, maybe you could take a little shortcut. Okay, good. I hadn't thought of that one. What are some other trips that make the trip go a little faster? Maybe not so bad.
Maybe bring toys so they're not so noisy so it can go faster.
Yep, you bring some toys, and then that distracts you, keeps you busy. Maybe you watch a show. What do you think this flag is? What do you think that is, Jared? Yes. What if that's a fun place halfway through your trip and you get to about here and, it's so long in the car, and maybe somebody sitting next to you is bothering you. Maybe they're touching you or breathing at you. They say, just a little bit further and we'll get out. We'll stretch our legs. Maybe you'll see something fun. Maybe there's a park. So then it won't make the trip seem so bad. There's a little boost right in the middle. In a way, that's what Jesus is doing for his disciples and for us, because Lent is coming for us, and Jesus' suffering and death was coming for Jesus and for his disciples. Jesus did a lot of really neat miracles, and so it was a lot of fun during the first part of his ministry, but now people are going to start saying all kinds of bad things about Jesus, and they're going to arrest him, and eventually they're going to kill him. So to get them ready for that, they took a little break. Jesus took them up the mountain, and he showed them his glory. He reminded them that he is the Savior God, and he also showed them where the end of their journey was going to be. Where was the end of their journey going to be with Jesus? It's kind of a tricky question. In heaven. You nailed it. Exactly. Jesus said, this is what heaven is going to be like, guys, so it's worth it. Sometimes we go through difficult things now, but heaven is coming. And St. Peter has some words to remind us, because life is not always easy, is it? Sometimes things happen that make us scared. Sometimes things happen that make us sad. Sometimes we do things that we feel badly about. So Peter tells us, and Jesus is going to tell us too. We have the word of the prophets made more certain. Peter says, you guys have the Bible, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. In other words, remember that Jesus loves you, and take little pit stops with him. Remember to read his word. Maybe have mom or dad tell you about Bible stories. If you do something wrong and it bothers you, tell someone at home. You can tell me. Maybe you can tell a Sunday school teacher. Because Jesus is a bright light, even in the darkest times of our lives. So we're going to follow Jesus up a mountain today. You can listen to the story. And he's going to remind his disciples, I'm going to be with you. And in the end, we're all going to be in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for letting the brightness of your glory shine on top of a mountain. We also thank you that your light also shines in your word and in our hearts. Help us remember that if we feel badly or if we're lonely or scared or upset, that you are always with us, and that in the end, we get to be with you forever in heaven. So please give us a boost today so that our Lenten journey might be good and our trip to heaven is good too. Please walk with us always. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go take your seats after church. I can't wait to hear it. We are going to join together to sing hymn 97.
Called by God, loved by God, and kept by Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance through your Savior Jesus. So in case you haven't gotten the hint yet, we are transitioning today. Transitioning from Epiphany into Lent, which means we are going from all the brilliance, all the glory, all the brightness of Jesus, his teaching and preaching, the way he shared the kingdom of heaven, We're going from his miracles to his suffering and death. And sometimes that transition can be kind of confusing, and it can be kind of abrupt. And a lot of times it's a season of the church year that people don't want to have a whole lot of time for. It's confusing because we like to see Jesus doing his miracles. We like to hear Jesus talking. We like to see Jesus as the light of the world because there's a lot of comfort there. But it can also be confusing because we see Jesus do things that a lot of people associate with losing. As we see Jesus really humbling himself, and people are going to start taking advantage of him, and they're going to start saying all kinds of bad things about him, and then they're going to arrest him, and they're going to do all kinds of bad things to him, and people will see, that's what losers do. And if you buy into what Jesus talks about, just think what he talked about last week. Losers turn the other cheek. Losers are going to let their enemies walk all over them just like Jesus did. So it's confusing to see Jesus, our Savior, our champion, our hero, the light of the world, going through everything that he went through for us. And then there's the bigger challenge of Lent, where we come face to face with our sin and sinfulness, the very reason that Jesus had to go to the cross in the first place. It wasn't for his own sins. It wasn't for his own failures. It was for ours. And so we can either choose to run away from God during Lent, we can run away from who we are, or we can embrace it, and we can see that's why God sent us a Savior, and that's why we have Jesus. So I'm not sure where you are on the challenge of transitioning from Epiphany to Lent. Maybe you haven't even thought ahead yet till next Sunday. But regardless of where you are, Jesus prepares you. He prepares you for his suffering. He prepares you for his passion. He does so by taking us up on the mountain today, and he's going to reveal his glory. He shows us his perfection. He gives us just a little taste of heaven. And then he's going to send us on our way as his confident children because he receives God the Father's approval, which means that you and I have God the Father's approval today too. We have a little bit of a setup leading into the lesson today. Matthew 17, verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. So they had 6 days to think about something. And that something was not a very easy something to think about. And it's almost ironic that we have about 6 days to think about it too until next Sunday, three or so, when you come to church on Wednesday night. But it was his suffering and death. This is the account where Jesus told them plainly, guys, here's what's going to happen to me. The Son of Man is going to be handed over. They're going to beat him, abuse him, say all kinds of bad things about him, and then he's going to suffer and die. And on the third day, be raised again. Mark 8:32 tells us he spoke plainly about this. And then Jesus warned them. He said, I know how you guys are going to think. And then didn't Peter pipe up and say, no, this is never going to happen to you. But Jesus warned them. He said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? So to prepare them to get their heads right, their minds right, to prepare them for what they were about to walk through with Jesus, he was transfigured before them. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. There were other glimpses of Jesus' glory, and we talked about some of them. There were his miracles. There was his teaching and preaching. There was his acts of love, his acts of kindness. We really see that Jesus is the light of the world. But then, doesn't that kind of make you wonder? You know, are there some people, right, who see Jesus, he was just a blip? Right, he came, he did a lot of good, then he died, and now he's done. And then they kind of see him as kind of a weak man who let people walk all over him, you know, turn the other cheek, that sort of thing. You know, that's what losers do. That's what weak people do. He was a blip, and then he was gone. But minus the Jesus being a loser part, isn't that really what Jesus was all about in this life? And isn't that how we really displayed his glory? He wasn't to be Jesus the Great. He wasn't to be Jesus of Jerusalem. He came to be Jesus of Nazareth. He came to show God's glory by doing what you and I could never do. Give God a perfect life. Doing for us what we can never do for ourselves. Suffer and die to pay for all of our sins. And so Jesus is transfigured for his disciples and for us. Even the conversation that they had pointed to Jesus' death. Mark's parallel account
tells us two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem.
You stop and think of some of the times that Moses saw the glory of the Lord. He saw it in the burning bush. He saw it in the Passover. He saw it as they were led out of the promised land, but it was never a good thing for Moses to be in the presence of God.
Moses had to take his shoes off before he could come anywhere near the burning bush. Moses was terrified to go. I can't go talk to Pharaoh. Who am I?
There were times that he betrayed Jesus too. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to hit the rock because I'm angry.
And then you think of Elijah. What was Elijah's life all about?
Oh, Jezebel this, King Ahab that. My life is miserable. I'm going to go hide under a bush, and I want you to take me now, Lord, because this is too much for me to handle. And look how different it is for them now. They too have been made perfect. They passed away, and they received everything that God promised them. Victory through their coming Savior, Jesus. And now Moses has no problem being in the presence of God because he's perfect and holy. Elijah, all his failures, all his faults, all his sins, distant memories, as he now too lives with Jesus in perfection in heaven. We see Jesus' glory on the mountain. We get this little picture of heaven. What's it like to be with God without fear, guilt, and shame? And so what does it all mean for us, the Mount of Transfiguration? Well, first, isn't it really the opposite, the complete opposite of everything that we know here and now? Because you stop and see, what did they see? They saw all of Jesus' holiness, all of his glory. And how different were they, Peter, James, and John? You know, you put you up against the backdrop of Jesus' perfection, and you can't airbrush that. You can't change that. You can't edit that. You can't make that look a little bit better. I mean, you can lie, and you can pretend, and you can say, no, there's nothing there. But when it comes down to it, you put Jesus here and us over there, Peter, James, and John here, and there's no comparison. Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Just think how different Jesus and those men were. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world can bleach them. And apart from God, do we look anything like Jesus? You know, and this is not one of those cases where God reveals Jesus' glory just to beat us down and just to show us what we're not and just to show us what we should be. It's not just to say, you know what, you have to be 48 inches to ride the ride and you're not. You know, come back in a couple years and try again. You need to be perfect and holy to stand by Jesus and you're not, so come back when you get it right. This doesn't mean that we are horrible, bad people who go around doing miserable things like kicking puppies and stealing candy from babies. But what does it mean? This is concrete evidence of St. Paul saying, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Becoming right with God and walking with God, having anything to do with a perfect, holy God, it's not going to happen for you. It's not going to happen for me. And it couldn't happen for Moses and Elijah without their Savior, Jesus. So we get to praise and thank God today that the Mount of Transfiguration is not just go be like Jesus. It's not, this is what I want you to shoot for, and if you don't, you have no hope. This is God's little glimpse into heaven. This is Jesus' glory on display, because this is who your Savior God is. Perfect and holy in every way. He never sinned once, and he sacrificed himself. Just like Moses said he would, just like Elijah said he would, Jesus came in full fulfillment of all of it. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified, but Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said, don't be afraid. Why could they not be afraid standing in the presence of a holy God? Standing in the presence of Jesus, coming face to face with their sinfulness? Because he was their Savior God. He was their substitute God. He came to live for them and die for them. And it's important for us to remember too, probably during our journey of Lent, that there are times that the law knocks us down, and rightfully so. There are times that we come face to face with things that we are not very proud of, things that God certainly does not approve of. But then Jesus comes to us in all his glory and all his perfection, and he picks us up too, doesn't he? And he says, don't be afraid. How neat this must have been for Peter to put all this together after Pentecost, when he walked up the mountain and he saw Jesus, and then a little bit later he betrayed Jesus, and then a little bit later Jesus is telling him how much he loves him. And now Peter has some time to reflect, and he's writing this epistle to you and to me, and he has this reminder: we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. You know a cleverly invented story? You know how a cleverly invented story would have gone? It would have gone something like, yeah, okay, that's what God says, but this is what Jesus really meant. Jesus really meant, just try to be good. Just try your best and don't sweat it when you fail. That's a cleverly invented story. Or a cleverly invented story would have been something like, just go forget about it. Just go run and hide and hope for the best. Or follow the crowd and everything will be just okay. Peter said, that's not what we followed. That's not what we're sharing with you. We're sharing a Savior God who gave himself up for you, a Savior God who lived perfectly for you, so that you can stand before God unafraid, perfect, and holy too. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus came to do his Father's will. He came to be perfect. He came to sacrifice. He didn't come so that you could pretend you have no guilt in your lives. He didn't come so that you can just put on a bright, smiley face when it's really, really dark in your life. He didn't come so that you can have an excuse for all your sin and for all your sinfulness. He came so that you could have hope. And God the Father gave his approval and said, "I accept the life that he lived. I accept the death that he did." And because your Savior God has your Heavenly Father's approval, so do you, and so do I. And so our Heavenly Father comes to us too, and he picks us up, and he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come and talk to me. Don't be afraid to come and listen to me. Don't be afraid to call out for help. Don't be afraid to ask for forgiveness, because I know you need it, and my Son, your Savior Jesus, earned it for you." The Transfiguration prepares us once again to benefit from a review of Jesus' suffering and death. The Mount of Transfiguration experience means that we know what heaven is like. We got a little bit of glimpse of it. We see Jesus' perfection. We know the life that he lived for us. And we know, too, that our Heavenly Father is going to walk with us. So, may God bless you this Lenten journey. This season, we're going to focus on repenting and turning to Jesus. Not because we're pretending that we're good enough, not because we're pretending that nothing bothers us, not because we're pretending like the effects of sin and sinfulness don't affect us at all, and everything is always bright, cheery, and happy, but it's because we need a Savior, and we have one in Jesus. To God alone be the glory for displaying his glory to us. May God bless you as you enjoy your Father's approval and as you enjoy another Lenten journey. Amen. Please stand. We join together to confess our faith, to witness our faith, and to encourage one another. We do so with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 8.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please be seated as our offerings are collected.
In our prayers this morning, we've been asked to remember Cynthia Rogers' friend Warren, who had a seizure this last week. We've also been asked to remember former St. Mark's member Carl Sartorius. His wife Shirley was recently diagnosed with cancer, and she's going to have a difficult time treating her cancer, so we'll ask that God will be with both Carl and his wife Shirley. And then again, we will remember President Mark Zarling, who is holding the call to serve us, and our Mr. Bauer, who is holding a call to serve God's people in Stillwater, Minnesota. Let us pray. We praise you, O Father, for the precious gift of your Son and for his glorious transfiguration on the holy mountain. Give us the firm resolve to listen to your Son, the joyful readiness to believe his promises, and the spirited willingness to live according to his will. By the appearance of Moses and Elijah, remind us that blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they shall know the power of his resurrection when Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. O God and Father, let your Holy Spirit find a dwelling in our poor bodies and transform our weak, sinful lives into the radiance of goodness, purity, and righteousness that we are through your Son, Jesus. Transform our souls and our minds by the renewing grace that flows from you. Take our sicknesses and pains, our sorrows and mourning, take our disappointments and despair. Take our pride and anger, our hate and fear. Take all these, O Father, and transform them by the power of your Spirit into noble impulses, pure motives, kind thoughts, constructive deeds, high courage, and true faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you hear the prayers of your people and that you would send us and them your aid in your good time and in your good way. Dear Heavenly Father, it was very unsettling for Cynthia to witness a seizure. So we ask that you would help her in this dark time in her life to see the light of your love. Remind her of your presence and comfort her. Also be with her friend Warren. We ask that you would bless the doctors who will look after him. We ask that you would make him well and prevent him from having seizures in the future. Dear Heavenly Father, you do call us to walk through difficult and dark times, and cancer is certainly one of those. So please be with Carl and his wife, Shirley. Help us to remember that although our plans and our treatments don't always go the way that we want, your holy will is always done. So we ask that you, if it is your will that you bless a round of cancer treatment for Shirley, above all, we ask that you would strengthen her, that you would transform her mind into the likeness of her son, her Savior, Jesus. Help her and Carl to trust you always. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with President Zarling and Mr. Bauer. We ask that you bless them as they take a personal inventory of all the blessings, gifts, and talents that you have shared with them. Give them wisdom and insight as they make a decision where they can best put those gifts, talents, and blessings into practice for you. Help us to wait patiently as we await an answer from both of them. Help us remember that your kingdom comes even without our asking, but we ask that you would let your kingdom come through a decision that they make. And we ask that you would bless us all as we work together to further your kingdom through word and sacrament. Dear Heavenly Father, until your Son comes again, look upon your church here and in every place, and grant that we and all who bear the name of Christ may daily offer up to you the acceptable sacrifices of repentance, thanksgiving, and loving obedience. Hear our prayer, and by your mercy, grant our petitions for Jesus' sake. Amen. We continue with our next hymn. It's hymn number 95. Turn to page 9 in your worship booklet for our closing portion of our service. Please stand. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we next gather for worship, it will be Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. On that day, we will begin our solemn journey to the Savior's cross. While the joy of faith remains undiminished throughout the year, our rejoicing during the solemn season of Lent is muted and quiet. For centuries, therefore, Christian churches have omitted their most jubilant songs during the season, including the word Alleluia, which means praise the Lord. Now, for a time, we say farewell to Alleluia. We do this to prepare ourselves for the quieter days of Lent. The Alleluias will return on Easter dawn as we gather to shout our praise to the risen Lord. Please remain standing for our closing hymn, Alleluia, Song of Gladness. Good morning again to everyone, and may Jesus bless you as we transition, as we get ready to follow Jesus to the cross. May he use that experience to bring you ever closer to him, his great love for you, and hold before us all our destination that is with our Savior Jesus forever in heaven. So I pray that God bless worship today and that he blesses us in the coming weeks during Lent. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, so we will have our first fellowship meal at 5:30 that we will begin serving the meal. And then we have worship here at St. Mark's on Wednesday evening. There's a Lenten rotation, and that will be shared with you on Wednesday as we will rotate pulpits with Hope in Penryn, Pastor Waterstrat, and also Pastor Hansen from Lodi. And so you'll be able to see that rotation on Wednesday. We'll share that with you. But I'll be here Wednesday evening to begin the Lenten journey with you, and I look forward to that. Next Sunday, there's no public school confirmation. And there is no Bible information class. I have some Tree of Life board meetings in Vallejo, so I won't be able to attend those. So we will have no catechism, no Bible information class next week. Also, there is no Monday night worship during Lent. We'll send out another email announcing that. There was some different information that came out, but there is no Monday evening worship during Lent, as we have a Wednesday evening opportunity. So if you know some folks who enjoy Monday evening, or if you enjoy Monday evening, there's no Monday evening worship during the season of Lent. The next Monday evening worship will be April 24th after our Easter celebration. So there is no official word yet from Pastor Zarling. He has enjoyed the communication with St. Mark's that he has had, so continue to keep him in your prayers. And Mr. Bauer also is with us after returning from the basketball tournament. Welcome back. And so he's here if you wish to talk with him about his call to Stillwater, Minnesota. So we'll pray that God blesses him and his family during this deliberation time as well. We are going to take a look at the Wells Connection to see what we, together with our brothers and sisters in the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, are accomplishing. So we'll take a look at that, and then I will dismiss you and greet you one more time.